I'm going to tell you a few stories. All you have to do is listen.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, finally. The show that will always refuse to go into space for any reason, especially if it is to save the world's energy crisis. I'm Oscar, and with me today is...
Ralph.
If you watch the Cloverfield Paradox, you would understand.
Oh, okay. I was very confused. I thought you were talking about like an old movie.
Nope. And who else is with us today?
Oh, Luke. Luke's here.
Luke is here. Who's that? Are you talking to yourself in the third person?
Is that a new guest?
Yes, I think I got a new co-host, and I look for another Luke, so that way the show will feel seamless.
Interesting.
And I don't have to change any notes.
That makes more sense.
So there's our new co-host, Luke. Let's see if he proves himself well today. Okay. So how are you doing, Luke?
I'm doing quite well.
Fascinating.
Still in California.
Did everyone enjoy their little vacation from the show?
There was a vacation?
I mean, we had a court for 3 weeks.
I had an actual vacation. I enjoyed the fuck out of that.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about your vacation. Where'd you go? If you don't mind saying. I mean, maybe you do mind.
I went to Puerto Vallarta, so to Mexico.
Damn, he said it with an accent.
That's how you gotta say it.
Right? Yeah.
It was phenomenal. I have a lot of pictures.
Cosmic power?
That remind me to show you, Oscar, later.
Wait, show me what?
A lot of pictures.
Oh, pictures, yeah. Yes. I see. I haven't seen pictures yet.
Other than that, I mean, then I started a new job, which it's going pretty good.
Right.
And that's it. So, yeah, I've been busy.
I hear you. Luke,
cool.
I know I asked you already, but has anything changed over there since last time we checked in?
I changed my Twitter handle finally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what is it now?
Slothmaster.
I am at Slothmaster Luke.
Yeah. You know there's a Pokemon called Slakoth that's a sloth, essentially. It looks kind of like you, but that's one of the new Pokemon from Gen 3. Pokemon Go fans, yay. All right. I think we should get on with the show here. What are we? The show. Luke.
Men?
Well, I don't know. No, I'm going to say,
definitely two
since we've been gone
here
for a little while, I'm going to describe a little bit what we do here for maybe someone's listening for the first time, especially after our top 10 extravaganza last month, which was insane. Actually, I just realized we had like 4 weeks off, not just 3 weeks. But almost
we had like
weeks.
Almost the whole month off.
Yeah, it was very nice. Anyway, what we do is that we are, you know, three buddies that review new or newish. Sometimes we review things that are on VOD, for example. Films on a bi-weekly basis. This month's going to be a little weird. We're going to jump around a little bit on that bi-weekly. But, and then we have detailed show notes for every single thing we do. And we do three movies to better encompass the tone of that week or that month or whatever in movies. And there's so many movies out there. We can never keep up, really, but we try.
Right. And then Netflix just decided to fuck us this year, but yeah.
80 movies they're releasing
exactly
this year.
I mean, we could do that.
I've seen three already. And three.
Yeah, I plan to watch a bunch. We could do that. And then...
We could just do a Netflix show.
We could do a Netflix show. Yeah.
Full-time.
Full-time, yeah.
Like, that's insane.
I'm pretty sure there's a podcast for that already.
Oh, there's a few, for sure. I used to listen to a few, but they kind of suck, actually. The ones that are just Netflix-centered, and they're not very good to my ear holes, anyway. But I listen to a lot of podcasts, and they just didn't meet at least the standards to my ear holes, like I said. For some reason, the last five I tried, anyway. Anyway. But enough of all that. This is technically first show.
What? Yeah. Quick disclosure.
Yes.
I am drinking coffee. If you hear me slurp, I apologize. I will try not to.
That's okay. It's like midnight, so right. Coffee is mandatory.
Sure.
As far as I'm concerned. I'm drinking a chai, so whatever. All right. So this is episode number 44. And today's show, we're going to discuss the big tentpole item today. Is the first thing we'll discuss today, which is the Oscar nominations, the Academy Award nominations. I forget the year. Is it 52nd or something? I've already forgotten.
Who cares?
Which is, I think the ceremony is due to come out March 4th. So we're going to give our predictions. We're going to give how we feel about these nominations. And since I'm the one who did the homework, but I will hopefully...
I will chime in.
I will, yeah.
There was homework?
I will force you guys...
There was homework.
The thing I texted you guys 2 weeks ago, yes. I will force you guys to chime in on some of your opinions as to, like, what would we pick as our nominations for some of these topics,
sure.
Especially some of the ones that we don't agree with. Like, replace that for this, please.
Yes.
Right, like, Meryl Streep, please stop nominating her. Just pick someone else.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, for example.
Hey. Like a Batman movie, why aren't you there?
You leave Meryl out of this.
Oh, yeah, because you and Meryl go so far back.
We're homeboys.
Homeboys and girls.
She could be your grandmother, literally.
She really could.
How do you know? She's not.
I know she's not because
Oh my God, we don't.
That's all. Oh my God, no, you're right. Go ahead. Silkwood. Oh my God, you look familiar. All right, and we are reviewing two films today. Both are out on VOD. One's on Netflix, actually. One is a Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair starring movie called Mom and Dad. We'll get into what that's about soon. It's a pretty nutty movie.
That's a movie that Nicolas Cage said I could just do whatever I want, right?
I mean, that's what he says to all his movies. That's why they're all bad.
Sure, but in this one, he was just like.
He went balls out.
I have a good theory about that. But anyway, and we'll conclude our show with the Cloverfield Paradox, which made a big hoopla, with the Super Bowl ad buys they had at the Super Bowl, and the commercials that said at the end of it, like, oh, it's out now on Netflix. So everyone went out to watch it. And it's the third semi-installment into the franchise. They're not really sequels, but they're not really...
Sure, yeah.
But they're connected, right? So that's what we'll be doing today. And if you want to reach us, our main homepage online is otherpodcast.com. Please check that out. Everything, all these shows, all the 43 shows we've done before this. And I'm actually finding a way to include our past archives from our old show.
Oh, nice.
Into that website.
Whenever you figure that out, let me know.
Yeah, whenever I figure it out. That's another 100-something shows we did. Right?
Yeah, those are good times.
We broke 100, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we were over 100.
Yeah, nice. So a lot of material we're going to be including there. Also, bonus episodes. Guys, you know what the bonus episode is available for those who donate to the show? You know what's available for this month for guys, for everyone?
You know, Black Panther.
It is. I've been calling it Blanther. Not many people get it. A lot of people give me that questioning look. I'm like, come on. Just combining the words.
So I was listening to NPR today.
Yeah.
And did you guys know there's a Wakanda, Illinois?
Is it really?
Yeah, I saw that.
Wakanda, Illinois, spelled a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And they get phone calls to City Hall daily.
Oh.
Multiple phone calls just going like Black Panther or
right.
Wakanda Power or whatever and hang-ups and a bunch of crazy stuff like that.
You know, I thought when you get prank calls at my store like twice a day.
Yeah.
And I get sick of that.
They get they have to answer each phone call.
So. Well, yeah, I know, and I have to answer mine too. Right. What I'm saying is that I can, that sucks for them.
They're asking for vibranium.
Yeah, they're asking for vibranium. Oh, they're asking for stupid things. It's so stupid. Yeah. Apparently, they said that they also want to change the high school mascot because they think it's a bulldog to the Panther, to a Black Panther.
Well, might as well just roll with
it. Right. No, and then the town hall guy's like, this town has been established, has been the bulldog. Why the hell would we switch it?
Right, right.
You know, they're so like.
You know how many bulldog plushies I have in my
right,
house?
Exactly.
That reminds me of my favorite meme for Black Panther stuff is that the meme says, white people, there is no Wakanda. And then black people says, neither is there Hogwarts. And they say, and then the white people start attacking them, like crying. Yeah. Okay. What is that? What's going on, Luke? I'm hearing noises that I should be worried about. Luke?
I got nothing.
No, what was that noise? It was you?
There's nothing.
Were you pissing?
No, I was pouring some coffee.
Yeah very piss-like. No, I know you were. You totally warned me before. He's not pissing, guys. Don't worry about it. Anyway, well, what was the thing?
Coffee's pot is
pissing. Even if I did, I'd have the courtesy to mute the mic, and I'm not going to bring the mic to the bathroom.
Yeah, because courtesy and Luke really go together.
Shut up. if you buy me a 20-foot cable, a USB cable, I might do it next time.
20-foot USB what? What kind of USB cable?
This is a this is a micro USB.
No one actually cares.
All right, I'll send you one.
Send him one.
Thanks.
Anyway, as I was saying, the Black Panther is it just Black Panther, right? It's not just Black Panther.
I think
it's just Black Panther.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that. Anyway, that is our bonus episode for the month. Find out on our website, like I was saying, otherpodcast.com to find out how you can get that show early. If not, you might have to wait 5 months in advance. Ralph and I did see it, and Luke and Sard also. Our current bonus that has been released from 5 months ago is Mother, which is Darren Aronofsky's controversial movie that didn't make much money.
Yeah.
But alas, we did
read it. Oh, yeah, because I haven't seen it yet.
Right. It's out for wide release for everyone right now on our website and obviously any podcast catcher of your choice. We will not be doing a recent watching stuff. We're not going to talk about what we've been watching recently because we have a lot on our plate. And we want to save that for the next show because the next show is going to be a little light on the subject matter.
For sure.
All right. So without further ado, guys, let us talk about the Academy Awards, shall we? And the way we're going
to... Best picture goes to...
right, in the best picture, right. And the way we're going to do this today is that I'm going to go through all, not all the nominations, because there's so many of them, but I'm going to go through the major ones. At least I feel the ones that are important to movie making, or at least the ones that we focus on more as film watchers, as cinephiles, you know. So I'm going to I'm going to go through them, and then we'll just, you know, talk about it, whatever. So here's the first one. Well, we should just start with.
We're
the
also
going to
pick,
right?
which ones.
So let's do best picture first, because it's a big one. So first one also on there. So give us the nominations, Rob. Do you have them? You don't have them, do you?
Wait, oh, best pictures in the first one. Which one are you? What form are you looking at?
Do you have the? Wait. Do you have the nominations, Luke, in front of you?
Yeah, but mine starts off with actor in a leading role.
Okay, I will say it then. I just didn't want to say all the words in this podcast, that's all. I will say it. Best picture nominations are...
I have all of them, but you do. Not in the order you probably have them.
Oh, okay. Well, then say them. Say the best picture.
So best picture, we got Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and somehow Dunkirk made it in there.
Oh, so you did that on purpose. You left Dunkirk out until the end on purpose. I was like, this alphabetical order, he missed it when he said to get out. I'm like, oh, great. He doesn't have the same list
actually,
I do.
I totally thought I was like, wait, I thought Dunkirk was on that list.
Right. So I guess I know how what Luke feels about Dunkirk.
This is number one pick.
Right.
More like Dunkirk.
Yeah, so you... I forgot you saw this movie. What did you think of it? I forget.
Oh, it was boring.
Boring, okay. So the same
slow.
As me.
Well, let's just say I started watching this movie in the airplane on the way to Puerto Vallarta, and I decided to stop watching it because I didn't want to snore.
Yeah,
on the plane.
It's not... I mean, you didn't even
finish it. I'll get to watch it, yeah.
I mean, you can't count it as you've seen it, though.
Don't count it as I've seen it, but I'm just saying...
Also, any movie on a plane, you gotta watch movies you've seen before, like a rom-com, an action movie, something you've seen before. You can't watch a new movie on a plane.
Yeah, I didn't
watch
Lego Batman.
I do.
That's a perfect movie. It's a perfect movie to watch on the plane.
Oscar, when you're in Alaska for 3 months, any movie you go on a plane to see is going to be a new movie for you.
Poor Alaska. All right. So, okay, we know how we feel at Dunkirk. What do you feel the, like, you know, what the, what the Academy will pick. Sorry. Words. Oof.
Is there anything bisexual, transsexual, or LGBT?
Yeah, I mean, the Call Me By Your Name. It's about a gay relationship.
Might be the one. Going on.
The Shape of Water is about a merman and a woman.
But.
Yeah. Well, I mean, The Shape of Water is getting a lot. So.
That's a big thing also. So.
Wait, Ralph, what did you say?
I said it's about a woman. The woman is the main role here.
Right, and then Luke, what did you say?
I forgot.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, The Shape of Water is getting a lot of nods, so I think it might kind of.
Yeah, it seems like Three Billboards, Shape of Water, Get Out are the top three. Dunkirk also probably fourth.
Which, by the way, were like my top three also.
I mean, I feel like. Do you guys feel like Get Out has a real shot?
I'm very amazed that Get Out has got the nod from everybody, because I mean, it's a directorial.
What
debut.
Was the last horror movie? Right. That was up here.
And it's a horror movie.
The Signs of the Lambs, maybe, in 89.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This movie came out,
in Feb.
Early last year. So I'm surprised it's still in people's minds.
Oh, it is, man.
So that's kind of like I'm rooting for, on the down. Yeah. Come on, dude.
Have you seen the meme also with Daniel Kaluuya, where he's like, he got out and
went to Wakanda.
Nice. That's a step up, my friend.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so, I mean, it seems like, I don't think Phantom Thread, The Post, I don't think they have a shot at all.
Are we saying our picks here or no?
No, we're just generally talking about right now. Oh, I mean, what do we think the Academy will pick, I guess?
I don't know. I hate to say it, but they think, they include, obviously, they lean in, what the temperament of the times is, you know?
Or especially they try for Best Picture. They did Moonlight last year.
So I honestly think Shape of Water has a very good chance.
You're right. So they might not get the black vote this year.
I think the Shape of Water has it. I think the Shape of Water
has it. If that's how they see it,
Yeah, exactly. Right. Because the Shape of Water includes a strong female lead and then strong female supporting role, right? And it's a Mexican director.
Yeah.
Although and Michael Shannon. just because.
The whitest guy ever, yeah.
Michael Shannon, yeah. He played Elvis, for fuck's sake. See, I think the Academy choice, the one I will never pick, because we just talked about it, is Dunkirk. I think that's the one they might.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Because Nolan has never, and Nolan's always been a crowd and critic favorite. He's never won this kind of thing before. The closest he got was The Dark Knight, and he that wasn't close at all. That, Inception got a lot of nominations for technical stuff.
Yeah,
but
which I think should have won also some stuff because it was really technical.
I think it did win for some technical amazing, stuff, yeah. But not like director or writing or editing or maybe editing. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, so they might give it to him. So that's kind of why I put it in the thing. Other than that, I think the only competition is Shape of Water and Get Out.
So I think Shape of Water, Get Out for sure. Yeah.
Get Out is my personal favorite, and that's the one I personally want to win, and also has a good shot, so I'm happy with my pick. That's my real pick.
Yeah, those are my picks.
But my Academy pick is Dunkirk. Like, the one, like, okay, they want to fuck me
no.
over. If they want to have the artist me again,
yeah.
they would pick Dunkirk.
Yeah.
What was your favorite movie?
What was my favorite movie?
The Artist.
No, it wasn't. Shut up. So I assumed, what did you pick? Luke, shit, I'm confusing you two like my mother.
I'm going to go with The Shape of Water.
Nice. Nice. But I mean,
down low, but I kind of do want Get Out to kind of knock it out, though.
Yeah, I mean, if Get Out, Shape of Water, or hell, even Lady Bird, I just think it doesn't have a shot in hell. But if one of those three wins, I'm the happiest guy in the world. But other than that, one of those three has a good shot. So let's talk about director, I'll name the directors here. It's Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, Jordan Peele for Get Out, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, PTA, that's Paul Thomas Anderson, for Phantom Thread, and Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. Two white guys, a girl, a Hispanic, and a black guy. All walk into a bar, see?
So, yeah, for me here, Lady Bird might be the nom.
The Academy win?
The Academy win here,
okay.
Especially if they don't pick any strong female things, anything, just for the fact that they have to give a nod to something like that. I say
she's not the first woman director to win, right? Because it was Catherine Bigelow, right?
Yeah, exactly. She wouldn't be the first woman, but it would also show like, oh, look, blah blah blah.
It's the first. I mean, of that
but
kind.
But I honestly still think The Shape of Water has a really, really good chance of winning this. He's also has a really big nod because you got to look at Guillermo del Toro's. I mean, he's been there. He's been up there before. For many nominations or movie wise.
Well, his movies you sometimes get the special effects stuff or the makeup stuff. But other than what was that year? The Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah,
that was a Mexican year because three Mexican directors were nominated at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the closest he got. And
sure,
other than
but he's been up there before.
Yes.
Besides Nolan, who's been up there as well.
No, I don't think Nolan's ever been up there for himself, no.
Oh, no, but not by himself?
No, never by himself. His movies have been up there.
Sure, I don't
think
movies
not
have
him,
been up there.
I don't think.
All right.
The only one other person who's been up there is PTA. For There Will Be Blood, I think he was nominated. I'm not 100% though.
Yeah.
But I think that might be the only movie though. Maybe Boogie Nights, but I don't know.
Interesting.
So the only one that's – there's no past winner on here. So that's nice. These are all be first-time winners.
Yeah, that would be
so that's
first-time
cool.
winners. That would be really
I'm
nice.
Happy about that. Yeah. No Spielberg or
– any nod here wouldn't be a bad choice. I'm still prone to Shape of Water and Get Out just because those are my favorite – more favorite movies.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch Phantom Thread, but I do like Paul Thomas Anderson's work regardless of what he does. I can't say anything about Dunkirk or Lady Bird, but –
I mean, Lady Bird is super awesome director for a first timer.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You gave it. You
could my number 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Also, is like, will you be up here again? That's her first directorial debut.
See, I think the people who have shots to come back is Nolan probably because he just has so much clout and so much money backed up his way that he can kind of do whatever he wants.
Sure.
Gerwig has a big shot because she's been writing forever and acted forever since the millennia, since the 2010 or early aughts or whatever. So she's been doing this for a long time, and she has collaborated, like Noam Baumbach. She's married to Noam Baumbach, so they always do shit together. PTA, come on.
Yeah, PTA's always going to come
back. He's going to come back. And Guillermo del Toro will come. I think Jordan Peele is maybe the only person that may not have a sophomore excellence.
Yeah.
But I hope he does.
Right. Well, yeah. I think he can be up there, but it all depends on also type of movie he's making.
Right.
Because, like, let's be realistic. If he goes in the horror route, which I'm not knocking anything, be a lot harder for him to go through.
I mean, it's,
nominated.
It's a miracle he's up here.
Yeah,
it's a miracle
really
Get Out's up here. So,
what do you say, Luke?
Yeah, what do you think?
Shape of Water followed by Get Out, because I'm honestly I was not impressed with Phantom Thread.
Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's not for everyone.
It's definitely not for everyone, but still. there's very few things that I liked about the movie. And that's surprising for PTA and me.
No, I mean, it's just what he wants to portray, how he wants to show it. I think he fucking killed it in that movie. But it's hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, but I am subject to change once I see Lady Bird.
Watch it as soon as you can. Yeah. My first pick is Jordan Peele, followed by Guillermo.
Yeah.
It was Greta Gerwig for a long time, though. That's how close that little mind race was. Yeah. But I think they'll probably go for one of those. I just hope it's not Nolan. Other than that, I'm a happy guy, really. Anyway, let's go on to our next topic here. What's the next one, Ralph?
Sure, what you want to do?
All right, let's do best actor.
Actor in a leading role, mm-hmm. We have Timothy Chalamet, Daniel Day-Lewis, Daniel Kaluuya, Gary Oldman, Denzel Washington.
Yo.
I could have told you the movies, but y'all figured that shit out.
Yeah, right. Well, Denzel Washington is the only one that's doing a movie that's the only movie that's nominated here is Roman J. Israel Esquire.
Yeah, which I think is on Amazon Prime or something.
It is there. I think it was one of their movies.
Might be able produced. To watch it. It's one of those produced movies.
Yeah. I was going
to
watch it, but I was like, maybe.
Yeah.
I saw Daybreakers instead.
I mean, I think even without watching Phantom Thread, I'm 99.999 repeating. Sure that Daniel Day-Lewis did an amazing job.
Yeah,
have no clue who this Timothy Chalamet is.
Yeah, he's the main child.
Yeah.
Not child, he's like a...
I hear Gary Oldman...
he's the older guy.
I hear Gary Oldman did a great job, especially, but I don't know if it was...
Oh, I haven't seen The Darkest Hour
either. Him mixed
with
it, or him mixed with the fact that, like, the prosthetics makeup? Or the makeup and stuff like that?
You think it's like the Brad Pitt pick? You know how Brad Pitt was nominated for that movie that David...
Benjamin
Fincher
Button?
Benjamin, yeah, exactly. Button.
Yeah, I think it might be,
a bit of that.
Not to knock anything of for Gary Oldman. I mean,
he's
a
fucking great actor. Yeah.
And I think the darling here, honestly, might be Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, he's
just because he did a phenomenal job.
He's my pick.
Yeah, he did a phenomenal job. He is. It's not his. I mean, it's his first nom, obviously. But
yeah,
and I don't know. I think it says a lot to also nominate giving it to him, even over Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Denzel has won.
Denzel's
two
won
times,
for sure,
maybe
but
two
he's
times.
Been snubbed also for.
For other definitely. And I mean, Gary Oldman has been, he's never won as far as I know. And
at least not,
he's my
actor.
Second pick only because they like choosing those period films, especially about war.
They do like choosing period
play,
films, yeah.
You know, biopic. And so it's like, I feel like Darkest Hour,
Gary Oldman has a kind of thing going for him where his name is old in it, so they might be like,
right,
not
and maybe this will be like, you know, they tend to give wins to older actors for something they maybe don't deserve, but to accommodate all those past nominations they should have won for, like
they
see, you know,
they just,
a lot of people do that.
Can they just give a nomination, an award to Meryl Streep this year and be like, that's it?
Did you listen to Film Spotting's opinion
no.
on that? They said, I forget who said it, I think
just,
it was Adam.
Just give her an award that says you win every year.
They said they called her, like, just give her the honorary title award, like, always, like, don't nominate her just so she's always winning and don't actually,
she's
like,
always
good. No, he gave an actual, like, not honorary mention, but he said something.
Like a whole spiel.
Yeah, he gave it a specific title.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I might have listened. I can't remember. But yeah.
So mine is Daniel and Gary. Luke, what are your picks?
I haven't seen Darkest Hour, so I'm going to go with...
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen three of these movies.
Which Daniel?
Oh, yeah, same here. But I think Daniel Day and then probably Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm. Which Daniel did you pick, Oscar? Kaluuya?
Kaluuya, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just Daniel Day-Lewis.
Kaluuya is going to be my like third pick, hopefully. Like,
I mean, I won't
guy.
Be... Yeah. I won't be surprised if Daniel Day-Lewis wins because he killed it, but he's killed it in the way he's won
in everything.
Yeah.
And he's won twice already for amazing, unforgettable movies that I'll never forget, right?
Yeah.
But like, so
Drainage.
I figured, like, I feel Kaluuya and Oldman... both are, you know, deserve. One deserves it from a long time of
Kaluuya
working.
If Kaluuya does it, who else has won on their first time besides Adrian Brody that I can remember?
That was my go-to pick, man. I don't know. I can't think of one right now. I'm sure there's
first,
I'm sure there's plenty, yeah. But...
There is plenty, but I don't wonder.
Didn't J-Law win?
Did he?
She.
Oh, yeah.
Don't Jennifer
know. Lawrence. Didn't she win?
Oh, yeah, she did.
For Winter's Bone?
For her first nom?
Maybe
that was
maybe.
Her first nom. I don't think she won, though.
Oh, okay. Maybe not,
though. Yeah, no, I don't think she won for her first
okay.
nom.
I thought she might have won. Okay, well, then, I don't know. But we'll figure that out. Let's go to actresses. Best right. actress.
Actresses. We have Sally Hawkins from The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand from Three Billboards, Margot Robbie from I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan from However, Lady Bird. Sure. And The Streep.
From yeah, I'm telling you. The Streep should not be. That's the only one I disagree with.
Yeah. So... I guess I'll start it off since I'm already talking.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think Frances has a really good shot of winning this one. I think she did a phenomenal job in that movie. And I would say I didn't get to watch the Lady Bird or the Post. Obviously, Meryl Streep is Meryl Streep, so it's just like kind of Daniel Day-Lewis status. I heard good things from the Lady Bird movie. Whatever you've said, and I've heard another one mm-hmm. review, but if it goes to anybody else, I think it goes to Sally Hawkins. But I honestly think it's a strong vote for Frances in this one.
You might be right. It seems like Three Billboards best power is
best
the
power,
acting.
Yeah.
Is the acting
I mean,
performance.
Look at the supporting actors.
Yeah, alone, right? What do you think, Luke? What's your choice here? Or your thoughts?
First, Jennifer Lawrence won for Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, okay. So she won on her second nom.
Second nom, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And for this one, I do think Sally Hawkins probably has the best thing because, I mean, not only did she not talk, it was all acting for her, you know? So that was amazing.
Yeah.
Then I would have to go with Frances as my second. I didn't really care for Margot Robbie and I, Tonya, just because I think she was really too old to play a 15-year-old girl. So that kind of really threw me off.
Yeah, I mean, that's just director's choice, really.
Yeah. Yeah. But then my third pick would probably be like Meryl Streep, because I think she was actually kind of pretty good in the Post.
I didn't know we were picking three. No,
I'm just kind of going.
Yeah, no, we're all just sorry. Yeah. He's just fucking with you. All right, things in news? Or is that it?
That's it.
Okay. I think my picks were Sally Hawkins, number one. For me, it's like no contest, even though I know that Frances McDormand is really good. Especially that one particular scene at the cop station. My second pick was I can never pronounce her fucking Gaelic-ass name. Saoirse Ronan. For Lady Bird, I mean, I know she's young and shit, but she's been working for a long time and never really has made a bad movie since I first saw her in Atonement. So,
oh, that's her?
Yeah, that's her.
Good shit.
The one that betrays the couple. And Hannah also and shit. Fuck yeah. This girl's pretty great. And also Brooklyn, she was nominated for that movie.
Never saw
which
it.
Is recent also. So I don't know. One of those two I'm happy with.
All right.
Yeah. It's kind of my picks, I guess. Let's go with supporting male actor. I will mention these.
Sure.
We got Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, Florida. Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards. Richard Jenkins for The Shape. Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World, and Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite movie of the year, just because I had to pick a favorite, obviously, because it was hard to pick them, but it's The Florida Project, and big reason for that is Willem Dafoe, so he's my first pick. Second will be Richard Jenkins, because I feel like he's deserved it for years, but... What?
He wants to say the stupid joke. He says
Dafoe, the friend.
Is it Dafoe or is it the friend?
I know. I get it. Luke, since you're, you go next.
Okay. Sam Rockwell is going to be my number one, just because I think it's about damn time people recognize the awesomeness that he is.
I feel like people have always known that, or no?
I think the low-key people know that.
I think he's underrated.
I think he's underrated.
I grew up watching his movies. I've always known
but
how
I think people
cool
go like, oh, he's a good actor. Right?
Moon,
but,
bro,
but,
Moon.
But a lot of people just go like...
Yeah, Moon's amazing.
A lot of people just go like, oh, it's whatever. Like, and then they don't see Sam Rockwell as like this, an entity that he should be. I think Sam Rockwell's always been looked at as like, you're always going to be a supporting person.
But he's not. He's led... Movies.
He does it all the time. I know that.
But Moon.
But I understand that. That's what I'm trying to say. But I feel people look at him as like a back burner person.
Okay. I first saw him in that George Clooney movie, his first movie he directed, which is Confessions of a Dangerous Mind or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was good. What were your picks? Oh, wait, you only said Sam Rockwell. Do you have a second pick?
The second's going to be Woody Harrelson.
Nice. I mean, also very good.
Very good.
That fucking actor is amazing. God, yeah. All these actors are all... I mean, I haven't seen Christopher Plummer's performance.
Yeah.
That's the only one
if I don't watch Florida Project, so...
Yeah, I haven't seen Florida Project or All the Money in the World.
Watch it, guys. Really
so, I think I'm on the same boat here as Luke. I think Sam Rockwell has a really good shot.
You think Three Billboards is going to win these actors stuff?
Yeah, I think so. No, I think Sam Rockwell has a shot. Don't get me wrong. Woody Harrelson did a great job.
I don't think he's ever won, though.
No, I don't think he's won.
I feel like he's deserved it for a long-ass fucking time.
Yeah, he might. He might.
I mean, for Snatch Born Killers, even.
Yeah, that was a good movie. But I don't know. I think also, what's it called? If they decide not to pick a Three Billboards thing because they're giving it to too many,
right?
They might do like a Richard Jenkins.
I think Jenkins is a big Jenkins. Fan favorite. He's the who's the guy from Whiplash?
Because, and I'll tell you why, Richard Jenkins, because Richard Jenkins plays a homosexual person in the movie. So,
oh, you mean politically speaking, they'll go for him because of that reason? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't talking that way, but
I am.
You're right. You're right. All this stuff should be included.
Yeah.
Only because that's how they include it.
Yeah, that's how they include it. I mean, they've even said
trust me, I don't want to act this way. I want to pick the best person for the job.
Sure, and I think the best person for the job, I'm on Luke's side here, and I think it should be Sam Rockwell.
Right. And I'm like Dafoe.
Yeah, you're Dafoe, but we haven't seen that movie, so we can't make that judgment.
But my second is a political project. My safe pick is Jenkins.
Yeah, my safe pick.
But he's also amazing, but he's always been amazing.
Don't get me wrong.
He's never not amazing.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Kevin DeWitt, he made that movie so personable to me. All right, let's go to best actress then.
Supporting role.
Supporting. Luke, why don't you give us these nominations?
We have Mary J. Blige for Mudbound, Allison Janney for I, Tonya, Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread, Aunt Jackie for Lady Bird, and Aunt David Jackie. Spencer for Shape of Water.
That was...
Okay, Laurie Metcalf.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so what do you pick?
Oof. Honestly, Allison Janney was fucking nailed it in I, Tonya. Especially when I saw the footage of the actual mother nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I never saw the real stuff. Oh, wait, yeah. You saw it at the end of the movie. I'm sorry. I think I meant like more than that. I'm sorry.
But no, there's also, they were showing some stuff on like the news and stuff like the interviews. And so,
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to go with Octavia Spencer because that's pretty much the second movie that I saw. I'm discounting Leslie Manville just because it's Phantom Thread and she was just not that good.
What?
In comparison to Daniel Day-Lewis?
Actually, you know what? I think Leslie Manville played the sister, right?
Yeah.
I thought she fucking killed. She's like my second pick after Mary J. Blige. Because Mudbound... You guys haven't seen Mudbound yet, right?
No, it's on Netflix. Right?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mudbound breaks your heart in a really like historically pure way. I don't know if that's even.
Well, my wife and I have 2 days off, so
It's on Netflix.
We're gonna binge watch movies.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's also a very beautiful movie to watch and stuff. But anyway, so Mary J. Blige is. Let me see, what did I write here? I should really read it. Yeah, exactly right. Leslie Manville was my first pick. I think her role makes that movie actually complicated in Phantom Thread. And actually interesting. I think the way she reacts to both people, both in the same room together or not, in that course of that relationship movie, which is so fucked up, and Phantom Thread, it's truly fucking awesome. I even think that, I didn't mention this earlier, but for Best Actress,
bless you.
For Best Actress, I would have put the main girl from Phantom Thread. I misplaced her name off the top of my head, but I think she does just as good of a job as Lewis does. Like that, I think, you know, and she's a newcomer. I've never seen these people in my life. So I don't know. I really loved her performance, but I guess if you didn't like the movie much, you're not
going to. Right. It just left a sour note.
I get it. Octavia Spencer seems like they just nominated her. She did good, but I think she's done way better movies.
I'm going to agree 100% with you. I think I just felt like she was like her.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Are they trying to make her into the Black Meryl Streep or something?
I have no fucking
clue. What was the other movie from last year? Hidden Figures, right? Right? That was her, right?
Yes.
Anyway, and she did nominate for other things. Some of the stuff I really feel like she should be up there for. I don't think this is like her... I don't think it's meant for that. I think I would have picked somebody else. But yeah, I get it. Ship of War is also a big hit, so whatever. But Mary J. Blige, guys. I mean, I did not know she could act like this and kills it. Did you give your opinions, Ralph, on this? I forget.
No, I didn't. Okay. But I think Alice and Janie has a strong chance to win this one. And I think she might get it. I haven't seen any of the other ones, to be honest with you, besides Octavia Spencer's role. And I'm in 100% agreement with you where I just... Don't get me wrong. She did a good job playing. She felt like she played herself or in most movies that she plays.
Right, right. Exactly. I feel like we've seen it before.
Not outspoken, but a strong female lead, right?
Right.
And
you know the scene they're going to pick is the scene where Michael Shannon bursts into her house. That's the scene they're going to pick for the clip, right?
Yeah, either that or when they're walking together and she basically doesn't let her reply at all because she can't reply. But one of the it's like a comedy kind of scene.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I know what
you one of those two scenes.
Maybe.
But I heard Mary J. Blige did a really good job.
Super good.
So if anything, I might go to her. That's my second choice if I had to pick something.
It would be the first Netflix win, too.
But I would be Alice and Janie. I think Alice and Janie would have it.
See, I know a lot of people love Alice and Janie's performance. I don't see it. I don't see the nuance in it. Like, I don't see it the way Luke can't see Leslie Manville's performance. Well, I don't understand all the hype about it. I thought she was just mean. Like, I didn't...
Right, but I think she portrayed the mom very well, and I think there's that one scene. Well, there's two scenes that are very powerful.
I think
powerful
the parrot did more work than she did.
There's two scenes that are very powerful for her. The scene that they're definitely going to show is when she goes visit her mom at the camp where she's working.
Yeah, no,
and
she
they're going to sit down.
Hidden,
yeah, that's the one scene they're going to show.
I know.
I've seen it already like 300 times.
Yeah.
And then the other scene that they might show is that when she
I almost feel like we should do that tried, podcast
when she tries
what
to
clip
go
are they
to,
pick?
We should do like a bonus like that where she's going to go to what's it called when she goes to her daughter to try to get a confession out of her.
Yeah, whether she has to hit the tape. Yeah, the tape recorder. I mean.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say, Luke, on this?
No, that's pretty much it.
I just go into screenplays, guys. I'll go first. Adapted screenplay. Best adapted screenplay nominations are Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan, Molly's Game, and then Mudbound. This is a tough for me. I mean, I still haven't seen Call Me By Your Name, but I've seen the rest. I've been saving Call Me By Your Name still. I don't want to see it yet. Let's see adapted. Oh, okay. Okay. The way I went with this is really interesting. My personal want is The Disaster Artist.
Same here.
Mainly because of how self-referential and perfectly toned it gets everything. And also, I love that movie. I grew up with The Room. I get the hype and it just feels right. But, and I think either Molly's Game or Call Me By Your Name is going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Molly's Game, because it's fucking... What's his name?
Jessica Chastain?
No, the writer. What's his name? Jesus. His directorial debut on this... he did Social Network, West Wing. What the fuck is his name?
Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin, yeah. I mean, he's
Has
like...
Has he won anything?
Oh, he's won before. He's won before several times.
But was it were they all original or adapted?
Some were original, some were adapted. I think... was the one with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. You Can't Handle the Truth.
Few Good Men.
I think he won for that. I'm not 100%. He won for Social Network, I'm pretty
sure.
Social Network's adapted, too. So.
Yeah.
So
no, I know that was him. Yeah. I didn't know how Few Good Men was him.
Yeah, it was him, yeah. He's been running for a long time. Yeah.
No, I know he's been running for a long time, yeah.
So, like I said, Molly's Game, because it was fucking well-written. I mean, who's in that movie? Luke, have you seen that?
Yeah, I did see it at the Palm Springs Film Festival.
I mean, you loved it. I don't know if you loved it like I did. It was pretty badass.
Yeah, right? I was surprised. At first, I was like, why is this movie here? But then I was like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I actually like that scene with Kevin Costner that everyone bitches about where he's in one scene at the end of the movie. I love that scene.
The park bench scene?
Yeah, I love that scene.
Yes, that was a good one.
That worked for me 100%. I don't know, people are bitching. But the reason I'm picking Call Me By Your Name, even though I haven't seen it, as the Academy one, is because I don't think Call Me By Your Name is going to get much out of this award season other than maybe that one.
Mm.
So I figure, that's what I figure.
It's interesting.
If Mudbound gets it, or Logan, the first fucking superhero movie to get a big win like this, that'd be awesome.
Dude, that's my, like,
who would that be huge
hope
for
to them? God pick.
I mean, Logan will get it for the Fox. director co-wrote it, so. Oh, Fox, yeah, 20th Century Fox would get the win.
Fox would get a huge, like.
A huge cum load.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Luke, what are your picks again?
I would actually go with The Disaster Artist and then Molly's Game, but deep down. Personally, I wish Logan could actually get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. We can't pick the deep-down emotional one. Ralph?
Sure. I honestly think they're going to give it to The Disaster Artist.
Okay.
Just for snubbing Franco. Because
really?
People think yeah, that Franco
show. No, he did. He nailed it.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Totally nailed it.
I think because everybody else got...
He's playing like a weird Estonian guy.
Everybody else gave a lot of nominations for the disaster artist, like every other awards people, and these guys only got the one.
Well, they won for the Golden Globes, right?
Yeah,
they won a lot there. Yeah,
they did win a lot. Yeah, and I do agree with you with the Call Me By Your Name thing. It might be the one thing that they might win it for. But the Oscars like to throw monkey wrenches in these kind of picks,
especially for screenplays.
That's what I'm saying for these picks. So actually, I think Logan has a better chance than you guys think it does. And they might give it to Logan because it is a very well written script.
For me, all but the ones I mean, I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name.
If any of those other four wins,
I'm a happy guy. Molly's Game will be fourth place for me only because Aaron Sorkin's won before. But if Logan, Artist, or Mudbound wins, I'm a happy camper. All right, so that's adapted screenplay. Ralph, give us the original screenplay now.
Original screenplay is The Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Also, this is also because scripts are kind of told at the beginning, at the front of the ceremony, so a lot of people see that as how the winds are going to go for the rest of the show.
Yeah, that is true.
So a lot of this goes into that. So what do you think, Ralph?
So
this one's hard.
I like the story a lot for The Shape of Water, but I honestly feel like it's going to get washed away here just for the fact that Three Billboards is a really strong script. It's all talk.
Martin McDonagh is all about the writing.
Exactly. So I think Three Billboards has a really good chance. And I think if they do that whole weird, like, we're going to pick a random slot here, it might be The Big Sick.
Right.
Just because it is a really well-written rom-com. That doesn't feel like your traditional rom-com, I guess.
And it's also heavily on real life.
It is very based on heavily on real life. But that also might be its downfall. But I think the big winner might here is going to be Three Billboards.
Okay.
Because I don't know how much more Three Billboards would win besides this and maybe an acting one.
Okay. Luke, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a really hard one because I think all of them have a really good shot. But,
Well, you have to pick, bro.
It's going to have to be Three Billboards and then Shape of Water. Deep down, I kind of want Big Sick to get it because I did love the hell out of that movie. And I saw it on a plane. And then I bought it because I liked it so much. But I do feel like if Get Out can you know, kind of like get in there and be like,
yeah,
fuck y'all.
Can Get Out get
in
there?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's weird because I do agree that they're all strong. Don't get me wrong. I know I glossed over the other ones, but they all are strong contenders.
I think the fifth place, for the same reason you gave, Ralph, is The Shape of Water. I think the story is more like it's simplistic and it's easy and it does its job. It's very functional. I don't think there's any flair to it because all the rest of it comes in the acting and then the directing and the style and the costume design. That's where the movie pops and is magical.
Yeah.
So it's definitely fifth place. So for me, my number one and two is Get Out and Lady Bird. Lady Bird's biggest thing, other than the acting, is script, because it feels like The Big Sick. Also, it's very personal. Apparently, a lot of the details is straight out of Greta Gerwig's life, and I feel like my deep down one is The Big Sick because how much I love that movie and like just like pure love as opposed to love as a critic or anything.
Yeah.
So, but my first one's still Get Out. That script is too perfect to miss.
Okay,
that script is too fucking tailor made for the for one. So that's my thing there. Let's go with. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So we'll go with cinematography
because
I know Oscar's mind. And we have Blade Runner 2049, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, and The Shape of Water.
I mean, Dunkirk's just shaky cam, right, guys?
I only saw the beginning. And it did look kind of shaky.
The whole movie's like that.
God damn, I would not want to watch that.
The whole fucking movie's like that.
Here, I think, besides the beautiful shot in the beginning of the movie for The Shape of Water, it's I'm not saying it's bland. The tones are really well done in that movie.
I think so.
But I honestly think Blade Runner's got this movie. Runner did some amazing things.
Deakins has never won.
Huh?
Roger Deakins has never won.
I mean,
Every year we say this could be the year. I said that since I first noticed Roger Deakins as a great cinematographer, I first realized who he was, and right around Prisoners and that movie, the remake with Jeff Bridges, the Western movie by the Coen brothers.
True Grit. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He shot those movies. I'm sure. Like, man, this guy's amazing. Yeah. And then he did Skyfall. Like, where is this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Sicario.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah. Blade Runner, I think has a really strong chance to win.
It's my number one pick, too.
Yes, I think it's my number one for sure. Yeah. And then I guess I'd go with Shape of Water just because it's a safer bet. And it's not, don't get me wrong, it did look beautiful. There's some really good tones, especially in the main rooms we're in. There's some really good stuff going on in those rooms. So,
Haluk?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing as Rob, Blade Runner and Shape of Water. But I have a weird feeling that Dunkirk might actually slip into this one.
I fucking hope
so. Luke, you're describing my thoughts. First of all, me too. Blade Runner, Shape. I think we all picked the same here. Yeah. Shape is very close to Blade Runner for me. I actually love the look of it, every minute of it. But Dunkirk, I also feel like it could win because that guy, for some reason, has some clout behind him. He's kind of a celebrity cinematographer, so he might get it, honestly. I forgot his name off the hand, but like,
Hoyt
Tema. Fucking Hoyt bastard. He might get it, guys. So we just hope he doesn't. But, and Mudbound is also very beautiful. It's just that doesn't compare it to Blade Runner's fucking. I mean, if we're talking about just look and camera work and stuff. Like, I mean, it's whatever is best fits the movie. Don't get me wrong. And Mudbound is amazing for what it does. But I feel like after the acting and the writing and the story, then you start talking about that in Mudbound.
Yeah, I think Mudbound's going to be that. It wins one or it doesn't win anything.
Right. It might be just in the, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. Luke, why don't you give us the editing nominations?
Oh, film editing? So, it's going to be Baby Driver, mm-hmm. Dunkirk, I, Tonya, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards.
This is hard for me. Luke, what did you pick?
Honestly, for editing, Baby Driver.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's shocking. I mean, it's not shocking. I didn't see Dunkirk, so I can't tell you that. Right. And if you're saying it's shaky cam, I mean,
hey, some people swear by the fucking movies.
I think Baby Driver has a really good shot for this one, just because there's a lot of stuff going on in this movie where it's, you know, back and forth.
Dude, the gunfire.
Right, exactly. It's done really well.
Baby Driver is my number one, too. It's like by a long shot.
Yeah, and I don't know why I, Tonya's there.
I think they're talking about the splicing of the
some of the stuff was really well. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The back,
I think it was not as great as other things.
I mean, yeah, I think it worked. That and I would say I, Tonya is my third place choice, but my second was Dunkirk because apparently one of the things that when that movie came out in theaters last year, before I saw it even. People were talking about the editing as the main component that people loved about it. And I went there and I thought the editing was one of the worst things about the movie. Like the
you
choices.
Mean you couldn't edit it anymore?
Right. That is the I can never put it better than that, Luke. Thank you. Point is that people hailed it. And I get it. If that's the thing you kind of going to fall into, you fall in love with it or whatever. But I just did not care for it. It was a damn wrong choice, territorially speaking, whatever. But it might win. So it's my second pick. But Baby Driver is, fuck, man, that movie is all the editing in the world in that movie. But great editing, great cuts, exactly at the right times. It was so good. That must have been so hard to edit Baby Driver. It looks so impossible. The more I look at that movie.
It really does.
So I think we all have the same feel. Do you have a second pick, Luke, that's different than Baby Driver? I mean, than something else? Oh, no.
I think I, Tonya.
Yeah.
Might be a good second for me, though.
I don't think any of us really want to talk about The Shape or Three Billboards as editing marvels, right? I mean, we don't think. All right, so we're not going to talk about some of these other little ones or sound mixing or original score. We're going to skip those. But I do want to talk about, you're right, Ralph. Jesus, give us the nominations for that.
For animated feature film. Mind. Sorry, I put his mind. The Boss Baby, which I've heard of horrible things. The Breadwinner, which I'll still watch, by the way. Coco. Ferdinand and Loving Vincent.
Yeah, I know that we're not in this session per se, but where the hell is my Batman Lego movie? Lego Batman movie.
Right, I don't
that's,
know.
That's fucking slow motion. That's stop motion animated movie.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is it?
Well, they got the Lego Batman movie, the Lego movie, right, when it was nominated.
Yeah, it was nominated, but yeah. Over The Boss Baby? Okay, I haven't seen it. But
is this what we can complain?
I'm just complaining now because that's how pissed. This is the only category I'm super pissed about. This is the
me
only
too.
One. Super pissed.
What were you trying to
me
get?
Me too. A silent voice got snubbed.
A silent voice
for
got snubbed.
For fucking right. Boss Baby. Ferdinand? He's a fucking bull.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen Ferdinand. I heard Ferdinand is really charming.
I heard Ferdinand is very charming as well.
Very yes. good, but I don't know how good. Loving Vincent is a movie no one's ever going to see. It's so limited. Yep. It's so limited release. I can't find it still. I think it's available to rent now, though.
You could watch it if you watch all the shorts at the theaters. Or all the animated features. Right. I'll watch The Boss Baby one of these days with my son if he wants to. I don't know if Coco will win. I think Coco was visually.
You're gonna pick
some? I think visually it was really well done. I can't talk about Ferdinand. I can't talk about any other movies here. So, I think Coco is almost led here to win because I think if they put anything else against it, there's not going to win. It's I don't know.
Well, okay, so I feel like The Breadwinner is the closest competition Coco has.
I don't know about it.
It definitely is.
I haven't seen The Breadwinner, but I've been hearing about it for 8 months or so.
Oh, have you?
Yes. But
I've seen half.
Yeah, and Luke has seen half. Apparently it's on Netflix now. I found out today about it.
Oh, okay.
So it's in my fucking queue
maybe
already.
Maybe I'll watch it.
I'm going to watch that soon, definitely before March 4th. And I hear that movie has some great fucking feels, very human. A great studio behind it who's did movies that have been nominated for Best Animated Feature before, like Song of the Sea. And I think that Turtle movie, I'm not 100%, though, don't quote me on that one. But they do some great fucking movies. And honestly, I feel bad about it. I haven't seen any of that studio's movies until... And some of those are available on Netflix, too. I just haven't seen them. But I hear that The Breadwinner is even more stellar than those. So I feel like that's the closest it has. So that's my number one.
So if they win, do you think they make a joke? Like, this is our bread winning?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. Okay. Right? But Coco is most likely going to win, right?
I mean, yeah, Pixar. Pixar, right. Right.
So... But I mean, that's it. I mean, yeah, those, I don't think the rest are competition, but I may be wrong.
It's the big cock in that area. Huh?
Right. I want to talk a little bit about foreign language movies, only to say that we've seen none of these.
No, we have.
I mean, that is to say that I feel ashamed, but also, like, these are unpredictable movies. This is the most unpredictable category because all of these movies, guess what? They're going to be technically 2018 movies for us because they don't come out in the U.S. release until this year. Some of these are barely coming out now. The Square... barely just came out, I think.
Right. Recently. I can make a whole sentence about these movies.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Say, give us a sentence.
So, A Fantastic Woman is insulted. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
By your loveless...
Body and Soul on the Square.
Body and Soul. On the Square.
Yeah, so the...
Of your lack of watching these movies.
Right. And the nominations are A Fantastic Woman, The Insult, I heard, is an amazing, like, dark comedy. Loveless, On Body and Soul, and The Square. The Square seems to be the heavy favorite. That's the same guy, I think, who did Force Majeure. Anyone see that movie?
Yes.
Yes, we saw. We reviewed it on the old podcast.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I believe we did.
Well, that's the same director. So that's why I think it's going to win, because I think that's the one that has some clout behind it.
Body and Soul is like a book.
It looks like a book?
Yeah.
You seen the cover of it?
Yes. Yeah,
you see the cover? It's a book. the countries nominated are Chile, Lebanon, Russia, Hungary, and Sweden.
Okay, it's called Lebanon.
Are they going to check Russia for dope? If the directors were doped?
If we want, yeah.
And the writers and their actors? Because if they were, they should be disqualified.
Well, if that's the case, let's do it to all of Hollywood.
And the last one I want to touch on is documentary, and then we'll end it there. Documentary is big. I mean, it's a big fucking... It's a genre. It's a whole thing.
So,
right?
Yeah. Luke, go ahead. Read out
yeah,
documentary
Luke, read us the docs.
We have Abacus, Small Enough to Jail. Face Places.
Faces.
Icarus. Last Men in Aleppo. And Strong Island.
I would just call it Strongland. All right. So, here are my thoughts. Abacus, I think it's available easy to watch by now, by the way. I've only seen Icarus, and I saw that recently, and that's why I said that Russia joke. Anyone seen Icarus? That's the only one we can all see.
I don't have to watch Icarus because...
It's good, though.
I haven't seen it.
I just know everything about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know it was about sports or
anything. Joe Rogan won't stop talking about that.
See, well, there you go. I guess I don't have that. I thought the poster for Icarus is a face of Putin, right? And I thought it was just a political thing or espionage. It is those things, but it turns into that from sports.
No,
sports thing. Mm-hmm. And I see that's the poster I've seen.
Yeah.
But anyway, So
it's interesting. Whatever. From my understanding of the movie is basically he stumbles upon this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he went for a different reason, the director of this movie.
Yeah.
And then he stumbles upon this doping thing, which, I mean, it made a gigantic splash. And I think Icarus probably wins for that reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it made a gigantic splash enough to where Russia isn't competing.
Yeah, the head subject person from the Russia side on the movie is like in witness protection because of right. the events and shit. So, but the only one I can see having a bigger deal is Faces Places, because it's the directed co-directed actually, because she's very very old and she's been in the game for a long ass time. She is as old as Fellini would be if she was alive, I guess. It's Agnes Varda, and Agnes Varda has made some really great. You know, she has biggest women directors ever.
Yes, she
has. And I've never seen her movies. Mm-hmm. I've only heard about her and in great detail, and in, you know, the people say great things about her. So that's the only reason I would pick Faces Places, and I do want to see it. But I feel like I want to see her patch shit too, like to understand why. Also, like why she's so great to watch this movie, and she makes everything the narrative movies and then docs. So yeah. She makes whatever.
There's
she wants.
There's two big chances that Netflix could make a big splash at the Oscars this year.
For Icarus and Mudbound?
Yeah,
those are there too, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. On another note, on Best Animated Short, I saw Dear Basketball, which is available if you just Google that. It's, what's his name? Kobe is a nominee for that movie. You guys know
that? Is that his movie?
He wrote it.
Kobe?
Kobe wrote it. I don't know if he only wrote it or if he co-wrote it, but I think he was the only writer.
Bryant?
Yeah, that guy.
He co-wrote it. It's Glenn Keane and Kobe.
Yep.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was about to say, there's no way he wrote that movie.
I mean, it's just like a Dear John, I don't know, whatever. It's like a love story about basketball.
Basketball.
That's all it is. But the animation is pretty good. Anyway, I just want to mention that because I didn't know about it until I saw it. I'm like, whoa, well, this is about, okay. Oh. And I saw it. All right, so... we think overall it's pretty good because a lot of our top 10 movies are on this list, on these categories. So I think we like this year, right? Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Anything you guys want to replace?
It always feels good when we're...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Luke, why don't you start us off? Anything, free for all, whatever you want. What do you want to go with?
Get rid of Boss Baby and put a silent voice in. You already fucking snubbed Your Name last year. You're going to snub another great Japanese anime?
Yeah, and even if...
Do you think that what? They don't want to put in Japanese animes in there because they think that animated movies from Japan will always win?
No, they never do. I mean, Spirited Away won because it was like the first time, not culturally speaking.
But they never put Japanese animated movies in.
They put their Wind Rises.
In the animated section.
Yeah, they do.
They almost never do, though.
They do, they do often, yeah. Over the years, they've done it. Over the last three decades, they've done it several times. It's just that they never win. They rarely win, if that's what you mean.
I don't know.
I don't think that's the reason. I think it's more like we just like as a... I think as a society we treat animation as cartoons. So any serious cartoons doesn't count for a lot of people. And they don't watch it. That's why they don't know Japanese movies like Your Name.
Then watch The Fucking Breadwinner because that's a pretty serious one.
But that's not from this country. That's a company is stationed in Ireland, I think. So they're not from here. You know what I'm saying? So like... I mean, I love the Lego Batman movie, but it's not as serious as The Breadwinner. So, and yes, I would replace the Boss Baby for a Lego Batman movie. That's my pick over A Silent Voice. But I would take out Ferdinand also for A Silent Voice. But I haven't seen that movie. So, anyone else want to pitch in another replacement? I would take out Dunkirk for a Florida Project. I would take Dunkirk for any movie, really, but the Florida Project. I would take out The Post, which is kind of boring of a movie. I mean, it has some
really?
Stuff in it. I think that movie had...
I liked it.
I think the B-plots and the characters we saw for 1 minute were more interesting, and I wanted those movies over the movie we got.
I do understand that. That's a valid point, but I do feel that the movie was really good in itself.
The guy who steals the files in the beginning, who goes to Vietnam, that guy's story was way more interesting. Way more interesting. Anyway, I would take out The Post for The Lost City of Z. I wanted that movie in there. I would put Mother in there. I know it's controversial, but that's one of my favorites. Well, Florida Project and Lost City of Z, I think, deserve it more for Best Picture. Rafa, do you have anything like that in your head? As you think about it, or want me to keep going?
No, you can keep going.
I would put Thomas Jane from 1922, the Netflix movie, over... I mean, I haven't seen the other three movies, but I'm replacing the ones I haven't seen. So I would replace Chalamet for it, or Gary Oldman for The Darkest Hour. I know he deserves it for other movies, I'm sure. Denzel Washington also, I would replace him for Thomas Jane, or maybe like Michael Fassbender, or James Franco for The Artist, Disaster Artist, because I love that movie. I don't know.
I will agree.
Those are kind of like my feels on that. Take out Meryl Streep for any of the above. Charlize Theron. Oh my god, I can't even fucking pronounce those names. Nicole Kidman, the girl from Gerald's Game, what's her name? The main girl, whatever. And Jennifer Lawrence for Mother, which I think is her best movie, actually. So, like, yeah, I would replace that for sure. Anything else?
Yeah, I think for like I have some for the minor stuff though.
Okay.
Like for costume, I think Atomic Blonde could be up there. For that, I didn't have any. It just feels more modern than where we are, because I always feel costume has to be like, because Beauty and the Beast obviously hit. But I always feel like they always pick those movies, and I get it. Like, congrats, you guys can make clothes from like back then or whatever. And also for like makeup, Thor Ragnarok could probably be up there.
Thor Ragnarok,
yeah, Thor Ragnarok could also be up there for those. I mean, we'll just nominate two things.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I get it.
I don't get it. I don't know why.
I mean, I get it because they're like, well, like, you know, they didn't do anything above or something. But I feel like they
did. That's a whole career
Valerian. Valerian did really good for visual. I'm surprised visual is not up there. I thought it looked really good.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that one doesn't compete as much as others.
I don't know. Maybe just that one planet looked really well.
Yeah.
Because that's what I remember a lot.
Yeah. Maybe you're right on that one. I think, like, for example, for a supporting actor, I would have put fucking John Bernthal for his one scene in Wind River.
That was a good one,
His one scene, the flashback scene. Dude, that scene is still in my head. Like, I'm surprised Wind River got so little, actually, this year. Or, I mean, it got nothing. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Not so little. It got zero things.
I think I actually got one. I think I would put Atomic Blonde for cinematography and editing.
I agree with editing.
Would be good.
Editing was really badass in that movie. I totally agree with that. For best foreign language picture, I don't know if this qualified for last year. I don't know how it works. But Netflix released it last year. It was Graduation, which is Christian Mungiu's latest film. I talked heavily about it. And it made my top 20, I think. And Graduation wasn't nominated at all. And I don't think it was nominated last year. I checked, I think, when I first thought of this. And so such a snub for me. That movie is really good. And, we talked about animated movies. original script, I would have put Colossal.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you still haven't seen that?
Wait, Colossal, did I see that one?
With Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis. About the monster movie in South Korea, but they're not really monsters.
No, I did see that, yeah. Okay. That was a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I think for screenplay. Luke, did you see that one? I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I don't even know what it is.
Okay. I would have put Blade Runner. I think that script is pretty fucking awesome. 2049 for best original. I don't think it's adapted, right? It's original.
Theoretically, it shouldn't be.
Wind River, I also put up there as a potential for adapted screenplay is Gerald's Game, Lost City of Z, Lego Batman movie. I mean, I think
Lost City of Z should have definitely made it up there.
I do, dude. It's a great movie.
Yeah, Lost City of Z looked really good, really nice too.
I think the editing in Mother is also fucking awesome. You know, the editing in Raw, the movie Raw, also. Actually, the lead actress in Raw, I would have put up there for best actress also.
Really?
Yes. You guys remember that movie, right?
Yeah, I remember it.
Dude, I mean, she goes through almost all the emotions in that movie.
Just about it.
Horror, the sex, romance, and boring.
Mundane, yeah.
Being boring, being bored. For score... I would put Brawl in Cell Block 99. I know that's a weird one. I know you guys haven't seen it. But you listen to that score and you think they just took music from the 70s. Like, nope, that's all original. So that's a power right there. Anything else you guys want to mention or talk about?
No.
Cool. Harrison Ford also. I would have put in there.
For what?
For Blade Runner.
Your name in there.
Or Blunner. Yeah, your name, we already know. But yeah, your name, we talked about those a lot already. But it should have been nominated last year. But if not, this year too, whatever. All right. So I think that's it on Oscar Talk. It's going to come out March 4th. We gave our picks, our thoughts, our opinions. We'll talk about the ceremony next time and what we think of the wins and any blunders or what might happen. Hopefully nothing as bad as Moonlight.
Wardrobe malfunctions.
Wardrobe malfunctions, those are fun. I'm not going to see the red carpet unless someone makes me. Actually, I have to work that day, actually, so I'm stuck anyway. But
yeah. Is it just me? Don't they usually have it at the last weekend of February? Not much.
Normally, yes, but this one, it's like the month comes up too fast for them or something. It was like when they announced it, they had if they brought it on this week, they would have 1 week less than they usually do get. I think that's why they extended it an extra week.
Oh, I thought it might have been because of the Olympics or something also.
I mean, maybe. Maybe that's a component. Maybe that's the actual reason. I don't know. I'm not an Academy dude. But yeah, maybe. Okay. I don't know. But it's strange. It usually is the last Sunday in February, but whatever. Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll actually review a fucking movie. You know, that's just what we do here, right? So we're going to come back and review a movie called Mom and Dad. Let's see what that's about. Stay with us.
Take my advice. Don't ever have kids.
Everything just revolves around you, doesn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
What's the rush today? It's like they're waiting for a buffet.
What's going on?
Is that McKenna's mom?
Multiple reports are now coming in of parents murdering their own children.
Listen to me. We have to get out of the house before Mom and Dad come home. Dad?
Foot in, you take your right foot out, you do the hook in, you
A teenage girl and her little brother must survive a wild 24 hours during which a mass hysteria of unknown origins causes parents to turn violently there you go on their own children. The movie's called Mom and Dad. This is directed by Brian Taylor and written by Brian Taylor. Starring Nicolas Cage.
The fucking Nicolas Cage.
The one and only. Selma Blair, Anne Winters, Zachary Arthur, Robert T. Cunningham, and others.
Nice. What are the other movies that Brian Taylor has made? I don't know if this is like a first time or like he's done a few.
I think he's got a lot of writing credits.
Okay. What do you?
As far as directors, I got you. He's done some TV stuff, but he did a Ghost Rider Vengeance movie. he directed that.
So that's how he knows Nick Cage, okay.
He did Gamer, which I actually liked the movie. It was early for his time in 2009.
Yeah.
He did Crank High Voltage and Crank.
That's right. Crank is the one he's known for. I knew he was known for something. I just wasn't sure for what.
He also wrote those movies.
So he's known for like bonkers movies.
Bonker movies, yeah.
Like balls to the wall movies.
Yeah, this is oddly more toned than those.
More tamed, mean?
Tamed, yeah. Sorry. I meant to say toned down.
Toned down, yeah. I know. I understood what you meant. I just want to make sure that people listening
people
are not
understand
confused.
Me, yeah. Right. You're my brother. You should understand me.
Right. Bloody hell, should. All right, so let us start with Luke on this one. I remember that you texted us at night after you saw it, and you said, "Mom and Dad, what the fuck?"
Yeah.
What'd you think of this movie?
It was pretty fucked up. And honestly, it made me cringe at a couple of moments, and I was like, "Holy shit!" Like
of the horror, or like the horror specifically, or what, like the fact that they were parents,
like the things that they were doing, like you know, when, like you know, I'm gonna say like you know, when she had the baby, she's trying to like smother it right off the bat, and it's fucking like what the
that was.
That was cringy.
That was,
yeah.
That was
very
something.
Very cringy.
what do you? Oh my god!
But well, aside from that, it was pretty like fun, I guess. You know,
I mean, do you know? Was it fun for you or no?
Yeah, it was. It's not like a serious horror, but it was like a more lighthearted horror, I guess.
I think I would go with black comedy on this one. That's what
I'll
call it.
I don't see comedy in it. I do feel. I mean, yeah, Nicolas Cage is, I'll give you black comedy. Black comedy horror.
I never convinced Luke of anything in one shot.
Yeah. There you go.
Black horror, comedy horror, whatever you want to call it, I think it's along those lines. It's not meant to be taken super seriously because it's ridiculous. A lot of things in it are ridiculous. They use a ridiculous actor to do those things that they want to show ridiculously. But it's also done really well. It's also horrific in nature, and the idea of like nurture versus nature, it's out the window. It's like, fuck that shit. It's like reversal. It's like something happened to the poles on the earth, right? And we're reversed for a day. Yeah. And everyone went apeshit. So, I guess that's like, I feel like more of an explanation of the genre. But Raph, what did you think of this movie?
Luke kind of touched on certain points, certain fucked up parts.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of felt it like, oh my God, now I just had the name of the fucking movie in my head, and now I don't have it. That zombie movie with the radio thing.
Oh, Pawnee Pool?
Pawnee Pool. Kind of felt like a Pawnee Pool thing to me. The difference being is that this movie just, although it encapsulated mainly the characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the outside world was trying to tell us what's going on in this movie, right? And in that movie, we actually get the answer. In this movie, we get some roundabout answer that they think it's that, and they just let it go.
Right.
Which is what we get throughout the movie, which I kind of like. I like the fact that we're getting an explanation from the TV, right, and stuff like that.
Right. I feel like that was a bit of a spoiler, but that we don't have an answer.
Right, I didn't say an answer. And I didn't say what it was either,
what they
talk about. So that's why I didn't think it was that much of a spoiler. But other than that, it's an interesting movie. I do kind of like and don't like some of the aspects that they do with the flashbacks.
Okay.
Overall, the acting was interesting. Let's just go with that.
Interesting. That's code for it was shit, but I don't know how to explain it.
I mean, it wasn't complete and utter shit, but I mean.
So it wasn't like shit left over on the hot asphalt for like days.
It wasn't like brand new shit. It wasn't like ding dong ditch. I have to, stomp it because I put it on fire.
On fire.
Thing,
okay. I chose this movie based on almost nothing. I knew that it was about parents killing their kids. And I heard about Nick Cage in it. And I heard that in a way, it had Nick Cage in the best way you can use Nick Cage these days. And that is something I completely agree with. I think that Brian Taylor, was it?
Yeah.
Used Nick, perfect casting. And like also like you don't direct Nick Cage, you just unleash him. You just gotta know which direction you want him to unleash to. I think the guy chose them and used them really wisely.
Yeah.
So sure. I think that is the power as far as celebritydom this movie has. Like the staying power of this movie is that we can say that Nick Cage was unleashed in a good way.
Sure.
With that aside, I do like the community. That's not the right word. The pop culture. That's not a word. Maybe cultural. The cultural like anti. Nurturing message that the movie has.
Yeah.
I liked it. A lot of movies that we love a lot and a lot of movies that we hate a lot have similar feels and touches, where they go in extreme opposite reaction. I saw Daybreakers the other day, and the whole movie is just about being human again. I'm like, okay, well, it's kind of a roundabout way of knowing what I do know already. But like, so they exaggerate a whole movie just to get to that same point, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of the same thing. And I think that some movies doing better, some movies do it worse. I think this is right in the middle. I like the best thing about it is the aesthetic for me. I like the style of it. It feels like we're watching a B movie, also a B movie from like 1995.
It does feel at least early 2000s,
like that year. No, yeah. 1995. It has to be.
No, it felt or early 2000s.
Or Hobo with a Shotgun feels that way too.
I didn't see Hobo with a Shotgun. but yeah, I do agree with you there. Yeah.
So I feel like that's also a big power. Selma Blair.
Sorry, there's a mouse here.
Selma Blair is also. I don't know what made them choose Selma Blair of all the people in the world, the girl from Cruel Intentions and shit. But I think she nails it too. And I think the flashbacks, I think they get a little, you have to get used to a little bit. After the third one, I got used to how they were going to do it.
There's only three.
Yeah, I thought that was
weird.
No,
there's more than that.
One for each, so four.
No, I mean, there's several. There's like more than that, I think.
Then there's four.
I could have sworn there was more than four, too. One for each of them.
Yeah, I could have sworn there was more than four.
Maybe five, but I can't push. No, but I can't push five because yeah. I could have sworn it was one for each. One for each.
No, because they give a multiple of each, too.
No, it just had multiples of.
I think there's one bad cut where Nicolas Cage wakes up in his office after a weird cut that happens. That's the only cut that I don't I don't like the how they did that, because it felt like it was the beginning of a flashback. And for all I know it was, I just didn't understood it in the moment at all, or even after the moment. So that's the only one I agree with you that is not very good use of anything. But other than that, I think I like the smash cuts to explain the very reason these things are there, or the very reason these people are in this room, or the very reason this knife is there, or whatever.
I have a weird reference, I like too. That. I have a weird reference for this movie. It's which is kind of like, if you guys saw Bad Moms.
Never seen it, no.
No, but you guys know about it, right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's about them not acting what the normal should be, and they're tired of being the perfect mom or the perfect...
Or the housewife or whatever.
Or the housewife or whatever needs to happen, right? Or everything, right? And in this movie, it's kind of like that, only on a worldwide scale, where they're, you know, like, there's obviously big frustrations and resentments, like, even in the beginning of the movie, which I'm not trying to spoil, but I'm not spoiling anything, really, where it's, like, this quick look that, what's it called, that Nicolas Cage gives this kid for almost, for hitting him with the ball. And
oh, yeah.
And, like, he wanted to kill him. Like, it was a look like, I'm going to kill you. And the son is looking at him like, oh, shit, he's going to kill me or he's going to hurt
he's
me, right?
He's scared, right?
But at the same time, he's like, and he's not. And the dad takes it in a good way, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like I would react like the same way, but I would do it on purpose to my son. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, you did it on purpose. Like, but I'm doing it just because, you know, I know I'm going to rile him up. And this one, it didn't feel like that. It felt like utter death would come to him. Like,
well, the thing is, the soundtrack and the sound design of this movie,
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's living in another plane.
Yeah, it's weird.
But maybe it's... But it's got to be... I mean, I think there's a reason that just not quickly, immediately giving you a... I don't know if I'm saying it right. But, like, that scene right there, you get, like, violent strings of the violin going, right? And I'm like... Cage, calm down. Like,
sure.
It's I'm freaking out like the kid is, and then he laughs, and it's like an impending doom. It's almost like the movie showing you that with those horror movie sound effects is that I think it's more showing like the impending doom of it all, not that it's supposed to be taken like lightly, like he's just kidding like a dad would. It's like making fun of that by saying like, no, it's the beginning.
Well,
of
yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, but I think the movie plays into part that like, I really don't want to be in the situation I am right now.
Yeah.
And which is taking care of kids. Because that next flashback that he gets, because he gets it pretty soon after that, which is the first flashback of the movie.
Doing donuts in the parking lot?
Yeah. Tits in his face.
Yeah. Yeah. Tits in his face.
Yeah. All over the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that, was that Nick Cage aged down? Or
I think it was. Like him in his like was prime.
I looked at him really hard.
That's what I thought it was supposed to be.
It looked like him enough.
Oh, my God.
Maybe an impersonator. But
hey.
I don't know.
Well, there's plenty of those.
He's done so many movies, they could do whatever.
Yeah, pull somebody who impersonates Grease.
Look, what did you think of the flashbacks? Another thing we said so far, I mean, the flashbacks and the impending doom.
I thought they were cool. I mean, some of them, you know, they were just there for establishing or, you know, that kind of stuff. But they worked after you kind of got used to them. Because at first I'm like, did they try to hide like an ulterior motive? Like, why I want to kill this kid? That kind of deal, you know? Because what threw me off at first was when the two girls were running through that parking lot and like all that whole horde of parents just passed by them and didn't do anything to them. So I was like, okay, is it only you want to kill your own kid? Or do you have to have like a prior tension? Like, I want to kill this kid at one point, you know, in your life. That kind of triggered it.
I do think it's genetically based.
Yeah.
I think that... Well, but I know.
That's what I thought, too. But then, like, the mom killed her, you know, the girl's friend in the house.
Because they kept stopping her.
And they tried to kill the boyfriend twice.
Yeah, I mean, because they kept stopping her. Yeah. I mean, my favorite part, I think... Oh, that's a spoiler. We probably should get into spoilers before we talk about the insanity soon coming up. But I just want to say one thing is that this movie is bonkers. And it is B-movie in a very, like, literal... Like, and it's trying to be that. It's not like The Happening where they're, like, after the fact they'll say it's a B-movie. And I think that... I think it worked for me in a lot of reasons. It's not going to make any great list or anything. But I just think that it's a very ballsy movie and it's kind of one of a kind in this day and age. And I'm glad they kind of made this movie. It was fun to see Nick Cage in a good movie, or in a decent movie at least, if you don't love it. Any thoughts before we get into spoilers?
No.
I'll tell you when I get into spoilers.
Okay. All right, let's get into spoilers for Mom and Dad, starting right now.
So, it's the best, huh?
It is, but they need you less and less. And that's sort of why I'm here today. Remember how you said, if ever I want to get back in?
Oh, Kendall, that was what, like 15 years ago?
Yeah, that's the ever part.
Look, Kendall. You are always a rock star to me, but this isn't something you can just jump back into.
I get it.
You're going crazy. Kids.
Crazy? Wow. Well,
maybe take some classes.
Classes?
Yeah. Something fun.
What were you going to say, Ralph?
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, well, that whole thing about the explanation. They're trying to explain, like, this is, like, cub thing, right? Or, like, this primate old thing where animals have that they want to take care of their kids, right?
Who says that? Someone
said they said it on the news, like, a couple of times. This was on the TV, like, two or three times.
Yeah.
And that, like, them killing their own is, like, for them to survive or something.
Right, it's like a way to not let the future take over them, or like the next next generation. Like
right.
Kind of like how Eskimos, you know, send their old elderly on ice floats away.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly. So that's what the movie was trying to say.
Like, it is, I think it is culturally about that. Like it's because, you know, this whole nation, especially this country, always about the children, but, you know.
Yeah, but most people do it. And they're just because they got stuck in those scenarios.
Yeah,
and they actually really don't want to do
especially
that.
Especially the movie's Blair's kind of friend.
Like pushing that on you.
Yeah.
And it looks like the mom doesn't. The mom feels like our main actress. Or supporting actress.
You could call her mom.
Just call her mom, yeah.
Yeah.
The mom in this movie is basically just doesn't feel like that. But she kind of, with her flashback, all of a sudden she does. Like, it just felt like that felt unnatural in her flashback.
What was hers again? Remind me.
Her flashback was, like, she was trying to get back her job, career, or, like, after, like, 10 or 15 years or something like that. And the guy was like, oh, like, you'd have to go back to school, dude, because you have been here for, like, 15 years.
Right. Yes.
And then she cries her eyes off, like, like, that just felt, like, randomly out of place.
Yeah.
What's it called? And it almost felt like because she, like, loved her kids or whatever. You could tell she was frustrated or everything. Sure, because she's got a teenage daughter, but, like, who wouldn't be?
Oh, so that teenage daughter wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't. She was just a bitch. She was just being a bitch.
So yeah, not a big deal. Like, it wasn't, I don't know.
Sure.
I guess if I deal with it every day, maybe I'll see it differently. But
yeah, I guess so. but I guess the movie was trying to tell you about that one thing, which I thought was cool. That was, like, the whole potty pole thing. Which I thought, like I said, it was a pretty cool, interesting, like, virus that we didn't get explained how it is, but it looked like...
Was that a big deal for you guys, an explanation?
Static
for
TV? I like explanations.
I didn't need one.
So, yeah, it is one.
You say you did or you
didn't? I didn't. It just, it happened fucking
hey. Wait. The guy who needs everything explained?
No, I want closure.
He wants to know what happens at the end of things. He wants to see them in their graves, kind of
thing. Right. But there's no... I mean, okay, then what do you think of the ending of this movie, then?
Could use a little bit more closure.
Yeah.
Not shocking.
Not shocking at all. Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't want to mean to skip to the end. I just wanted to make that joke.
Just wanted to hear that.
I guess I'm more on the camp of Luke on this one, where I would say I didn't need anything, and the movie kind of makes fun of you for that, even putting, like, opinions of these people, or the news anchors giving their opinions on what's going on, but no one really knows. And you could tell that news anchors don't have children.
Yeah. Like, that was really funny. It is funny to watch, though, like the people who are career-oriented.
Right.
Yeah.
The only thing I would have maybe added, I mean, not to say I'm directing a movie here, but like I would say that I would like to see Nicolas Cage's father, like, driving from whatever he was at.
With rage.
Fuming with anger. And just muttering under his breath all the times he stole the car or whatever.
So, my biggest problem with that part of the movie, the father was great, by the way. Like, I fought in wars, you know, whatever. Like, that was great. Don't get me wrong.
And he's, like, stopping him from killing his own offspring.
Sure, but the mother attacking the wife made no sense.
No, it didn't. I think they had to streamline something there.
They did, and I was just like, you just killed it for me. Little scenario.
All right.
I don't know, because they started fighting for
that. It's not a zombie movie with this.
No, I get it, but they started fighting, but like, we're talking about this boy, the boyfriend who's like, gets comically like unconscious like three different times.
I was rooting for that guy, seriously.
So was I, for sure.
Yeah.
Which we thought he was going to die after the being poked through the face.
No, I mean, that was just through the cheek, right?
Sure, no, I get it, but like,
it looked horror, right?
Yeah, it did look horror-ish, but at the same time, you felt like, oh, something else bad is going to happen to him, because that's usually
when he fell
happens.
Off the banister thing.
Yeah, those looked pretty bad.
Yeah, that looked pretty bad. What he just said.
Yeah, well, I thought that after the banister, he was done.
Yeah, so did I. But he doesn't die, so like, there's this weird, like, that's what I'm saying. It felt like, oh, you're just an obstacle in my way, and the other one felt literally like, you need to die.
Right. I think the point of this movie is mainly reactionary, which is a lot of what pop culture also, but a lot of what people these days, especially youngsters, them youngsters, what a lot of youth in this country right now need is they only experience things reactionary. They need something right now to feel something right now.
Sure.
So something has to be reactionary in the moment. They can't wait a minute or an hour for a story to establish. So that's why there's scenes like that woman who's jogging with the baby and sees the opportunity of Selma Blair's car coming on the street to just fucking throw her trolley to
which
it.
Which was a very scary
which is both
moment,
funny.
Yeah. Funny and fucking scary.
And like, fucking scary. Yeah. And then that was the scene where it solidified to me that the parents are only killing their own children.
Yeah.
That's the scene. No. But also, it just shows you something really horrifying where the mother tries to smother the newborn or crush her with her arms, whatever she's doing. And I'm like, if I was directing, I was thinking in my head, if I was directing this movie, would I have gone a step too far? Because probably the faster way to do it is just fling it against the wall or something, which is probably too much. Because the movie also doesn't go too far. There are movies that go farther for less reasons.
Yeah.
But this movie almost goes far, it goes far for sure, but doesn't ever go too far. And they stray away from real horror stuff. They only show the aftermath of a gunshot, the aftermath of a nail through something. With that boyfriend, we get something horror, you know, with the nail or whatever. That hook, was it?
Yeah.
We get a little bit of the hook.
And oh, the hanger.
The dad also.
The hanger, yeah. And with the dad, we get something. The slow motion of the fire was more funny, though. It wasn't even horror. So I think the movie pulls punches as much as delivering a lot of horror culturally stuff, shocking stuff, you know. So I think the movie is just more about reactionary material than it is about some sort of cautionary tale or anything. But it's I just think it's funny that it takes a role reversal literally about the state of parents and kids and their children and offspring in such a crazy B-movie way. There's movies that have done this before. You know, there's a fucking Rick and Morty episode that does it. So, like, I just think that this movie in particular does it in a very unique way, and I think I liked it.
Yeah. But another really creepy scene is when all the parents or all the fathers are looking at through the window for other newborn kids.
Yeah.
That was like, that was really freaky because they're just like, they just want to kill them. Like, that's what it was. Yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck that. Yeah, it's a lot of really, really kind of horror-esque, horror-ish.
It's like the Purge, but like a natural Purge.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah.
But it was funny, though. It was. I didn't hate the movie, but I just thought, for sure it was. I mean, it's a B movie for sure. Like,
yeah, I mean, if you were loving it, I'd be saying more dissenting stuff just to give different opinions. So it's all fine. I mean, that cut, like I said before, and the one you mentioned about the mom's thing, I agree. But my favorite surprise that was that brought the most laughter out of me was when I saw Nick Cage's parents come into the scene.
You know, it's funny.
I was fucking.
Because I totally forgot, like, when that happened, I was like, oh, shit, what are the parents going to think? I didn't even think that his parents would be affected by this until he just shanked him right off the bat. And I was like, oh,
yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He kept stabbing him.
Yes. He was going to town on Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to mention, Luke, about the third act or anything?
No.
What about the ending? Didn't like. What did you want more of the ending?
Oh, what happens to their kids? Their kids' kids? Their kids' kids' kids? You know, that kind of thing. I'm always going to just say that, just to, you know.
What if? What if?
What if you got?
Yeah, I just thought of something crazy. Like, what if the couple, the young couple, have sex before the insanity happens? And then she feels maternally that they conceived the child, and she's just punching herself.
Well, then, I don't think...
Is that too extreme? Like, is that too much, too fast?
I don't think that would really work because, you know, you had the one lady who was, you know, giving birth. She didn't have any, you know, inclination to kill it before it popped out.
Wow. Okay, I guess we're using science now.
Science, bitch.
To explain this movie.
Movie science.
Movie science. You're right. You're right. You're not wrong. I just the funniest thing I could think of was that.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes that are made to look replicated, I would say, that are like almost in zombie type movies where like all the parents are waiting at the gates.
Definitely zombie imagery.
Sure, exactly. Zombie imagery for sure. Yeah. But they're just
regular
people.
Or the crazies. Have you seen the crazies?
Yeah, or the crazies.
That's a more realistic, yeah, I guess, true. If you want to call it realistic. Still a horror movie. Anything else I want to... Oh, like I said, Nicolas Cage, his best movie in years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's unfortunately to say. The guy's so weird. Every time I see Nick Cage in a movie that I'm watching, either on purpose or accidentally...
Like Snowden?
Sometimes it happens accidentally, guys.
Snowden?
Oh, my God, he wasn't Snowden. Yeah. That's right, he wasn't Snowden. He was surprisingly not memorable in that movie. Because every movie he makes is so memorable. Anyway... I think that there's this episode in Community, I think, about in season 4 or 5, I forget, where Abed goes crazy over figuring out the question, is Nicolas Cage a good actor or not? He doesn't know. He spends all night watching his movie. Every time I see a Nick Cage movie, I always think of that episode. And I still don't know, honestly, myself, the real answer. But the guy has made some real stinkers, but some real good movies, too. So
yeah.
All right, so Mom and Dad, I figure it's a great, like, funny, twisty, weird movie to pick as our first 2018 film, so figure it was worth a shot, and I don't regret it. It's still fun to review. So as therefore, Mom and Dad, we're going to take another break real quick here, and when we come back, we'll review a movie that was literally announced on Super Bowl. What's it called again, Luke?
I totally forgot. What was it?
We're all professional, we are.
Oh, Black
the
Panther.
Netflix.
No.
Netflix. The Netflix, oh. Wow. The Cloverfield Paradox. Yeah. I almost said the Netflix Paradox. So many movies. So many movies. What were you saying? Black Panther?
Yeah.
Black Panther.
All right, anyway, stay with us, guys.
We were supposed to record that, too, eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
Like, yeah, okay.
Three. Morning, beautiful.
Two.
I'm getting sick of only seeing you on a screen.
One.
Please, God. Be on our side.
Standing by for your go.
Turn that shit on.
Fingers crossed.
What the hell is happening?
Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not
there. The Earth. It's gone.
It's big, blue, full of angry people. Keep looking, you'll find it.
My God.
Orbiting a planet on the brink of war, scientists test a device to solve an energy crisis and end up face-to-face with a dark alternate reality, the Cloverfield Paradox.
Dun-dun-dun. I feel like we need a dun-dun-dun.
I was about to do that too, but you beat
really?
Me to it.
Really? Damn. Yes. It's almost like we've been friends for 20 years. Okay.
Fuck me.
No, it's been like 15, but still.
No, it's been 20.
Has it been 20? How old are you? 28?
I'm 30.
You're 30? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
3 decades, bitch. Are you saying I knew you when you were 10 years old?
Yeah, fourth grade.
Huh. Shit, I fuck, it has been 20 years. Damn. How old do I feel? All right.
Ancient.
This movie stars Gugu Mbatha-Raw, David Oyelowo, Daniel Brühl, John Ortiz, Chris O'Dowd is in this movie.
Hell yeah.
Right? Axel Henny, Zizi Zhang. Zizi Zhang. I'm sorry. She's a great actress. I never can pronounce her name.
Right. I get you.
Elizabeth Debicki, Roger Davies. I feel really bad that I can't pronounce some of these names. Anyway, yeah, that's what the main cast. This is a Netflix big movie, one of the big tentpole movies since Bright. I know Bright only came out a month ago, but I feel like every month they bring out a big thing. So, this is the third installment, kind of installment, of a franchise that started 10 years ago. I think 2008 was the Cloverfield movie. And real quick, Luke, before we get into this movie, what do you think about the last two movies, which is Cloverfield and then 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Oh, man, it's been so long since I saw Cloverfield, because I think I only saw it the one time.
Oh, really?
But I think it was a cool concept. I wasn't too sure about the whole, you know, camera thing.
And, a lot of people threw up. I remember it was in the news. A lot of people kept throwing up in the shaky cam.
But the more recent one, Cloverfield Lane, was amazing because you just weren't you thought, you know, John Goodman's character was just bullshitting and the whole time. Then you find out it's legit and it's all crazy.
Right. I feel like the only real Cloverfield, I mean, there is, actually, it's funny because all three of the movies keep the mystery of the why, like the big question of why and even how. It's yep. always never answered. It's always a mystery in all three of these movies. Even in Paradox, it gives you a bit more, but not really, you know? So, like, I feel like that's, like, the key of these movies in a weird way. Like, they don't want to answer anything, but they want to tease you so hard. It's almost like a Lost season. It's like we're watching Lost, but slightly better. So I love the first one because the first one was like an American monster movie, like they're like our Godzilla. That's how I felt, and I love the shaking. I mean, it didn't bother me at all. The shaking.
No,
stuff, so.
It was good.
I think it was employed really well compared to other movies that used a lot of that shit. So well, I think they did a really good job. 10 Cloverfield Lane. It wasn't a Cloverfield movie to the last 10 minutes, but other than that,
definitely.
It was a fucking great thriller movie.
I mean, I would say even like maybe the last 3 minutes probably.
Oh, yeah, roughly, whatever. Yeah, it didn't become a Cloverfield movie until we saw The Address, right? So now we're into this movie, and apparently, did you know there's another one coming in October this year?
No.
Yeah, there is. It's
wow.
gonna be that one's gonna be a bigger release, apparently, like a more of a in theaters release. I think I'm not 100% though.
I thought J.J. Abrams was gonna just come by my house and throw the Blu-ray through my window.
with a lens flare.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, Bad Robot has been doing the last two, this one and last one, and I think the new one too. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, without further ado, what did you think of the new one?
It was an okay movie, and honestly, I probably, if it had any other title, you know, sans Cloverfield, I would not have watched it. But just because it had that connection, I wanted to see what it was the reason I watched it.
And so if it was called a Paradox, but the description and everyone tells you it's a Cloverfield sequel, would you watch it then? Or is it the title? I mean, the title should
no,
be a reason
like,
to watch
if it. If it had no ties to Cloverfield.
I think it's a title.
No, if it had like no ties to Cloverfield, because apparently that was just like an afterthought that they incorporated Cloverfield into this movie. It was its own standalone thing.
Was that confirmed?
Yeah.
Really? That's awful. You know, that makes sense, actually, because some of the editing choice in this movie feels like some of it was shot different times, and it just tried to stitch it together differently. Or is that just me? Did you feel that way?
I felt there was a lot of things that were kind of off about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of weird things in the movie, but, like, off, like, cinematically speaking, like, it's weird how they put this flashback here or something or whatever. Or a lot of stuff didn't make sense. Also, they would introduce a lot of sci-fi concepts and never like really explain them or like go with them or like try to show the audience how it works, because before you know it, there's another paradox going on or another concept going on, and we have to just try to keep up, you know. I felt like there was like five writers, and maybe there were, I don't know.
I just wrote it from the writer. According to Uziel, it was during production that he came to learn that the film was being connected to Cloverfield, requiring him to rewrite a few scenes and added additional shooting. So
there you go. That's so weird. You know, it's funny because 10 Cloverfield Lane could be also said that it's the same thing, right?
Oh yeah, I could see that too.
But that one works better because it's only at the end. Right. And whether or not the guy is right, the guy in the movie, the main bad guy, is still a fucking asshole creep, right? So it doesn't change any of the real the plot and the emotional stuff. But this movie, the whole movie is about being science fiction. So the fact that they're trying to explain something being science fiction-y, and they just happen to add in a Cloverfield collection.
Right, and it also
makes the movie really clunky.
It does also say that they thought that they kind of added the Cloverfield thing to it was because of difficulty of marketing it as a standalone science fiction film.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, a movie that no one knows or has any connection to, way harder to get people to see it. If you add a Cloverfield title to it, of course people are going to watch it. I mean, that's sad but true. And I guess if that's the only reason, I guess I can't blame them then. I just wish they spent more time to, like, maybe scrap the whole thing and rewrite something from there. Like, I don't understand why you have to add on to. It feels like there wasn't not enough time was given to the script, you know?
Right. Like, okay.
You were saying?
So back to, I guess, you know, awesome concept. Love the high concept science. Just kind of just lackluster execution.
Oh, so we should explain the concept. What are they doing in space? What's going on?
Okay, so it's a diverse group of like scientists, I guess. They're in this like spaceship, and they're trying to make something. I forgot what the name of it was, but if they do this one weird thing, they're able to have like an infinite amount of energy for planet Earth. And right now, planet Earth is like in a state of like. It's like a cold war. Anything can happen, and there's going to be war amongst all the countries.
Right, it's a particle accelerator.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a part. It's a thing. You know, we have that here. We have a few of them.
The big like hole.
But this is like a huge one, and they put it in space so they can test it freely without
destroying Earth. Yeah.
Right, but while Earth is in war, because it's something that we've been predicting and fearing here, even though no one wants to do anything about it because we're having that ourselves. Except that this movie is just like 10, 20 years from the future from now, right? And it's so it's like a crisis. They have to do this. They do several experiments. Actually, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is how they think that they hope that the project works right away, but actually it takes them like 2 years.
Yeah, they're living just stuck in space. There.
And there's this great like a little montage time spending going on. That I think was actually edited pretty good, and I think I like that scene a lot. The montage of them in 2 years, I think that was good. And then before they finally get a hit, and the science fiction stuff, the fiction of the science comes in when they get a hit, meaning that it works, the energy is working. What they realize is that they shifted realities, or they shifted themselves out of their reality into a different dimension.
Yeah, it's a parallel universe.
A lot of words you can float around as to what it may be, unfortunately, I can't give you a straight answer because the movie doesn't know either. But it's one of those things. And what did you think of that concept? And what do you think of the movie's playing with it?
Cool. Yeah, it was a cool concept. Especially, I was thinking of that other movie. It was kind of like a low budget, same thing. It was like Alternate Earth.
Another Earth?
Yes, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that, but this is the more science fiction, way of it.
Yeah, well, it's more wordy. But I think Another Earth is just a science fiction, except that it's more like emotional. Yeah. Right. But without spoiling anything still, because this movie is still big, even though, it's on Netflix. What do you think of the performances before we get too much into the craziness of this movie? Because there's some great actors in there. No one
I was actually surprised, because at first I didn't realize who Daniel Brühl was until I'm like, who is this guy?
Inglourious Basterds, bro.
I know, but I just I couldn't connect him until I looked him up and it like clicked. I was like, oh.
He's in a lot of movies, actually. He also did a Netflix movie last year.
He's Zemo.
Zemo, yeah. He's Zemo exactly. From the Captain America movie, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
That's my big one.
He's becoming the go-to German actor if they want to put a German in a movie. Like, he's the go-to. You know?
Yeah, I mean, can
see
that.
It used to be that guy, the Pancakes House guy from Fargo, but not so much anymore. I guess he got too old now. But yeah, he's everywhere, man. He's a good actor. I like him. I wish they use him for better shit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what can do.
We also had Chris O'Dowd, which is kind of one of my favorites, just because of his BBC stuff with the IT crowd.
Right.
God, that was a good one.
Did he feel out of place for you because he's the only comedic actor?
No.
I mean, known for comedic actor. I mean, I liked him in that Tim Burton movie where he played like an asshole father, but he was meant to be like also funny and like funny like to be made fun of, you know. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. Chris was a strange actor, for sure.
Also, like him in Calvary.
That's right. He played. I mean, I don't want to spoil Calvary because not enough people have seen that movie.
Yeah.
But like.
But that's a good one, right?
But he plays. Like, yeah, that third act role he plays. Yeah, he's really good. You're right. He's a strange actor. He's just a strange.
Yeah,
guy.
He does a lot. He does a lot.
Yeah, he does. He's a strange movies. I like his post IT crowd career overall. I just can never place the guy.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
So other than the poor script, what do you think of the look and feel of the movie?
Obviously, they had the budget, so they kind of made it look cool. So,
I wish they could have explored the world more. Or did you feel that left out? Did you feel like too much of the ship? Like, I feel like they either should have gone all 100% of the ship stuff, or they gave us a bit more on the world stuff.
Oh, you mean like between like having this? It was kind of weird because I wasn't sure what to feel about the people on Earth because I didn't feel that story was that big as compared to what was going up in the ship. The ship was kind of like your main focus, and I was kind of annoyed by some of the stuff that's happening on Earth because I'm like, I don't care. Whatever, fuck that shit.
See, I think that's where we get rewrite problems and also editing problems. Without explaining too much, I'm going to say that there are certain points in the movie where you get glimpses of... You realize they're in a parallel universe because their ship apparently had crashed already on Earth and they all died in an alternate reality. Mm-hmm. And that different people are on the ship that should that would never that weren't there in their reality, but they're there in their original or something. Is really strange. And somehow this confluence of events have led to what the title is about, which is these monsters in the Cloverfield movies. And we don't know how yet. All we know is that they caused it somehow. And that the science fiction comes from that point. It's just never really properly explained. And throughout all this stuff, we sometimes, not enough though, we get like two or three, but like really sparse, too far apart. We get two or three like times where we go to the main actress's husband point of view on Earth.
Yeah.
And I like some of that stuff. I even liked some of their own present-day technology that they had. That was really cool. But, like, it wasn't enough. It was, like, too little and too late almost. Like, it wasn't... I feel like, why even give me any information? You should just give me nothing.
Possible earthquake near the Statue of Liberty.
Looks like you should have left town a little bit earlier.
Whatever you're doing, stop.
I'd rather have nothing. Yeah.
I would go with nothing. Except, you know, but then you kind of, I think it's a big thing was they had to kind of show that because, you know, with her and her family, because on the other, you know, in the other universe, her family's there and they're alive and she could technically have the life she wanted. Although...
Sorry for that spoiler. I think that's a spoiler. Yeah. How about we get into it now? I'll put the spoiler before you say that, but let's just say spoilers now. I'll put the clip in before, so the clip already happened. But okay, keep going. What were you saying?
Right, so, in this other universe, she's got her family is there. They're safe and sound. But the problem is that a version of her is there as well. She never went into the ship. She stayed back on Earth.
Right, which is also like a... That was like a suggestion made by the other, like her friend that was that stayed on Earth in her reality, right? Mm-hmm. That was weird. I don't know if she was a villain or not, or if she was looking for her own interest, but I think that they were trying to put an emotional human hook by making her decide whether or not to go with her family that's alive and the family that's dead in her reality, right? I think the movie didn't do enough for me to give a shit about that because it was, like, again, too little, too late on that, too. Don't get me wrong. The actress is great, and I love her in movies and shit, and she did her best. But I don't think the movie spent enough time to get us emotionally invested in her really deciding whether or not to be with her family. So when she decided to opt out, mm-hmm. I was like, whatever, you know.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she did what she had to do. She left her a message saying, hey, it's, you're not crazy. It's me. To well, get rid of those solar cells or power cells.
Right. Didn't the movie open with that, right? Open with that message or something?
You know, I totally forgot. And I kind of wanted to go back and see because there was something that had to do with that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I'm 100%. I remember it opened with a voiceover. I just don't remember what it was. I think it was that. What about some of the crazy stuff that's in this movie? Like, here's, like, on one hand, it's cool to watch because it's cool to think about, but, like, also they don't explain any of it is when, like, Chris O'Dowd loses his arm or the way it happens.
Oh, man, that was nuts.
Yeah, that was weird.
And the gyroscope.
And the what scope?
The gyroscope in the guy's stomach.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That was
like, what
nuts.
Was that? It's like weird. It's like the writer was like, let's put the answer to a crucial thing in this guy's stomach. And they're like, why? Because it's fucked up, bro. Not because of any real reason. But yeah. It was still fucked up.
Or how that, what's her name? Was it Ava? How she's like stuck in like some panel and like her hand has like been spliced through like the wires.
Right. It's almost like she materialized within the
in there, yeah.
Space. Inside. Yeah, that felt like very Brundlefly, you know. She fused with the telepod.
She did.
yeah, I felt like that for sure. Again, all fun stuff to think about, and it's very almost feels like a Black Mirror episode too, or something. But not good enough because nothing was explained or given enough time to breathe. Unfortunately, but
you know,
cool.
You're not the first one to make a reference about Black Mirror and this, but I still really? Haven't seen anything from Black Mirror.
You've seen nothing of Black Mirror?
Nope.
Okay. Look, I mean, I will gladly if I tell you and the audience now that if I can get you to watch Black Mirror and we'll review every season as a show, as an episode, not only will that bring good content because it's an anthology series. Every episode is like a movie, essentially. They don't connect at all. But we can talk about every season is like 6 episodes also. They're not like 12 or anything. They're short. And they're easy to watch. Not easy to watch because they're fucked up, but they're short. And they're super exciting and super awesomely well-written overall. So that's why everyone compares it to that. Because it feels like it's an episode of that. Or it's like several episode ideas jumbled into one movie. So that's why we all compare it. You should really watch it. I will gladly review it with you.
There's so much to watch.
Yeah, I think put that higher on your list. If it's number 5, put it number 3 or 2.
Okay. Because it's, what about Altered Carbon?
I mean, watch Black Mirror first.
All right.
I mean, Altered Carbon's fun, and I liked it, but I like it more because I've seen Black Mirror. So.
Understood.
Anyway, anything else you want to mention about the crazy sci-fi-ness of this movie or anything particular you want to like jot out or whatever?
I got nothing really, but like I said, if I just saw a trailer for this movie and it was called The Paradox or whatever it was originally, I think the script was called God Particle.
Nice.
So if I saw a movie called God Particle and I saw some spacing, I'd be like, meh. Maybe if it's on a red box, but
maybe it's on Netflix, right?
Shut up.
The easiest way to watch anything these days.
Yeah, but right. Once Cloverfield was in, you know, and there's like, okay.
Well, I won't lie. It intrigued me. That's why I wanted to see it. And I'll watch the other one in October whenever it comes out. But, like, these movies, I mean, this one in particular did not excite me at all. Like, the last one, the 10 Cloverfield Lane, it made me excited, you know?
And definitely.
This one does not make me excited. So hopefully the next one is not a clunker, because if it is, I think I'll just stop watching all these movies, the Cloverfield stuff. Because I need to see some real, like great creative people behind them, that's the only way I'll watch them, I think. If I see that the guy from Sicario is directing, like Denis Villeneuve is directing the next one, I'll be like, fuck yes, I'm down. But if it's McGee or something, I'll probably skip it. So,
you know, I just want to know that, you know, my time is being, you know, put to good use.
Right. I mean, that's what we all think and feel. And especially in this day and age where all the content that's like literally drowning us. So, yeah, we want to pick right choices. That's what we want. And look, and we already have a movie of this year that's going to be like on our disappointment list, you know. So, anything else you want to mention about maybe the ending or whatever? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that was a pretty balls-ass shot of like them going into the atmosphere and like that fucking monster just coming right up.
Yeah, I think they went to Manhattan, which is like the wrong choice, man.
Right.
Yeah, that was cool, but again, like too little, too late. But it was cool. One thing I do want to see, Shay, is that Shiji Zhang, man, there's a lot of X's and Z's, I'm sorry, that actress, who is awesome, and she wasn't used at all in this movie. Her death scene was really cool. Her death scene was really cool with the airlock in the water.
Oh, man, yeah. That was balls up, way to go out.
Yeah, that was really cool. I actually liked that scene. I did not know that's how it was going to happen when I was watching. I'm like, how is she going to die? And I'm like, oh, right. That's cool. But she's doing real, but it's cool.
Yeah, and she's kind of like the one that solved the issue. Like, yep. There's... Yep. Yeah, and I was like, damn, she had to die.
Her and the German Daniel Brühl were the only characters that were actually more level-headed than anyone else, I think.
That's true. Movie.
Anyway, so that's unfortunately the shitty, because it's well-written review.
One cool thing, though. I did like how everyone spoke their own native language and everyone just understood it. Like, these guys were fucking smart.
Yes, that was
super multilingual, everything. That was awesome.
Oh, that reminds me, actually. So, this movie is not as bad as Alien Covenant because that set the bar. But, like, I thought these people were supposed to be... Oh, my God. Anyway, the scientists in that movie were dumb as fuck. But this movie doesn't have quite that dumb as fuck scientists. But these people are supposed to be fucking smart. The cream of the crop. They're not showing much of that in this movie, maybe except a few characters, but not even, you know. So I want to say, writers, write your characters as intelligently as their background's supposed to be. So, I mean, come on. But again, Alien Covenant set the bar. This movie did not lower it, so that's good. But anyway, just want to mention that. That's it for our review of The Cloverfield Paradox. It's on Netflix. I'm sure you've seen it, like everyone did after the Super Bowl. We're going to cut the show there. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Remember, you can always send feedback to our show at podmoviecast@gmail.com. All of this information, including our website, which is otherpodcast.com, is available on every show notes for this show that you download, as well as all the timestamps and the spoiler sections for all the reviews. All that shit's in there. And if you would like to follow me and my Twitter... as Armin Filmmaker, which is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke, you have a new one, so what's your new one?
Yep, at Slothmaster Luke.
Sweet. And then next time on March something, March 4th is when the Oscars come out, so we have to record that week of. So March 9th, I think, is the next one. We're going to talk about the Oscar ceremony and what we liked or disliked about the winners or losers or mishaps or wardrobe misfunctions or whatever. And we'll also talk about some of the movies we've been watching over the last, 8 weeks now that we haven't caught up on
people? It's been a while.
So we're going to talk about a lot about that. We're going to have, like, a free-for-all variety show, and we're just going to be, like, a lot of catching up for you guys and for us as well. So if we're doing a movie to review, we haven't decided yet, but I'll leave it open for now. But it may not be a full review of anything yet. So until then, I am Oscar, and you are?
Luke.
Sweet. All right, guys. See you later. Arrivederci.